September 16, 1895. A triplet of detonations, heard by M. de Schryvere, of Brussels. There were attempts to explain. Some of M. van den Broek's correspondents thought that there had been firing from forts on the coast of England, and somebody thought that the phenomena should be attributed to gravitational effects of the moon. Upon September 13, 1895, four shocks were felt and sounds heard at Southampton, a series of three and then another, Nature, 52-552, but I have no other notes upon sounds that were heard in England at this time, except the two explosions that were explained by the police of London. However, M. van den Broek says that Mr. Harmer, of Aldeburgh, Suffolk, had, about the 1st of November, heard booming sounds that had been attributed to cannonading at Harwich. Mr. Harmer had heard other sounds that had been attributed to cannonading somewhere else. He could not offer a definite opinion upon the first sounds, but had investigated the others, learning that the attribution was a mistake. It was M. de Schryvere's opinion that the triplet of detonations that he had heard was from vessels in the North Sea. But now, according to developments, the sounds of Belgium cannot very well be attributed to terrestrial cannonading in or near Belgium. In Seal et Terre, 16-614, are quoted two artillery officers who had heard the sounds, but could not so trace them. One of these officers had heard a series of detonations with intervals of about 2 minutes. A variety of explanations was attempted, but in conventional terms, and if these localized, repeating sounds did come from the sky, there's nothing to it but a new variety of attempted explanations, and in most unconventional terms. There are recorded definite impressions that the sounds were in the sky, Professor Pellissier's positive Mentarian. In Seal et Terre, 17-14, M. van den Broek announced that General Hennequin, of Brussels, had cooperated with him, and had sent inquiries to army officers and other persons, receiving 30 replies. Some of these correspondents had heard detonations at regular intervals. It is said that the sounds were like cannonading, but not in one instance were the sounds traced to terrestrial gunfire. January 24, 1896. A triplet of triplets between 2:30 and 3:30, p.m. by m. Overloop, of Middenkerke, Belgium. Three series of detonations, each of three sounds. The sounds went on, but, after this occurrence, there seems to me to be little inducement to me to continue upon the subject. This is indication that from somewhere there has been signaling, from extramundane vessels to one another, or from some unknown region to this earth, as nearly final as we can hope to find. There are persons who will see nothing but a susceptibility to the mysticism of numbers in a feeling that there is significance in threes of threes. But, if there be attempt in some other world to attract attention upon this earth, it would have to be addressed to some kind of a state of mind that would feel significances. Let our three threes be as mystic as the 11 horns on Daniel's fourth animal, if throughout nature like human nature there be only superstition as to such serialization, that superstition, for want of something more nearly intelligent, would be a susceptibility to which to appeal, and from which response might be expected. I think that a sense of mystic significance in the number three may be universal, because upon this earth it is general, appearing in theologies, in the balanced compositions of all the arts, in logical demonstrations, and in the indefinite feelings that are supposed to be superstitious. The sounds went on, as if there were experiments, or attempts to communicate by means of other regularizations and repetitions. February 18, 1896. A series of more than 20 detonations, at intervals of 2 or 3 minutes, heard at Ostend, by M. Pulsies, an engineer of Brussels. Four or five sounds were heard at Ostend by someone else, repeated upon the 21st of February. Heard by M. Overloop, at Ostend, April 6, detonations at 11:57 and 30 seconds a.m., and at 12:132 p.m. Heard the next day, by M. Overloop, at Blankenberg, at 2:35 and 2:51 p.m. The last occurrence recorded by M. van den Broek was upon the English Channel, May 23, 1896, detonations at 3:20 and 3:40 p.m. I have no more data, as to this period, myself, but I have notes upon similar sounds, by no means so widely reported and commented upon, in France and Belgium about 15 years later. One notices that the old earthquake explanation as to these sounds has not appeared. But there were other phenomena in England, in this period, and to considerable degree they were conventionally explained. They were not of the type of the Belgian phenomena, and, because manifestations were seen and felt, as well as heard, they were explained in terms of meteors and earthquakes. But in this double explanation, we meet a divided opposition, and no longer are we held back by the uncompromising attempt by exclusionist science to attribute all disturbances of this Earth's surface to a subterranean origin. The admission by Simons and Fordham that we have recorded, as to occurrences of 1887-89, has survived. The earliest of the accounts that I have read of the quakes in the general region of Worcester and Hereford, London Triangle, that associated with appearances in the sky, was published by two church wardens in the year 1661, as to occurrences of October, 1661, and is entitled, A True and Perfect Relation of the Terrible Earthquake. It is said that monstrous flaming things were seen in the sky, and that phenomena below were interesting. We are told, truly and perfectly, that Mrs. Margaret Petmar fell in labor and brought forth three male offsprings, all of whom had teeth and spoke at birth. Inasmuch as it is not recorded what the infants said, and whether in plain English or not, it is not so much an extraordinary birth such as, in one way or another, occurs from time to time, that affronts our conventional notions, as it is the idea that there could be relation between the abnormal in obstetrics and the unusual in terrestrics. The conventional scientist has just this reluctance toward considering shocks of this earth and phenomena in the sky at the same time. If he could accept with us that there often has been relation, the seeming discord would turn into a commonplace, but with us he would never again want to hear of extraordinary detonating meteors exploding only by coincidence over a part of this earth where an earthquake was occurring, or of concussions of this earth, time after time, in one small region, from meteors that, only by coincidence, happened to explode in one little local sky, time after time. Give up the idea that this earth moves, however, and coincidences many times repeated do not have to be lugged in. Our subject now is the supposed earthquake centering around Worcester and Hereford, December 17, 1896, but there may have been related events, leading up to this climax, signifying long duration of something in the sky that occasionally manifested relatively to this corner of the London Triangle. Mrs. Margaret Petmar was too sensational a person for our liking, at least in our colder and more nearly scientific moments, so we shall not date so far back as the time of her performance, but the so-called earthquakes of October 6, 1863, and of October 30, 1868, were in this region, and we had data for thinking that they were said to be earthquakes only because they could not be traced to terrestrial explosions. At 5:45 p.m., November 2, 1893, a loud sound was heard at a place 10 miles northeast of Worcester, and no shock was felt, Nature, 49-245, however at Worcester and in various parts of the west of England and in Wales a shock was felt. According to James G. Wood, writing in Simon's Met. Mag. 29-8, at 9:30 p.m., January 25, 1894, at Lanthomas and Clifford, towns less than 20 miles west of Hereford, a brilliant light was seen in the sky, an explosion was heard, and a quake was felt. Half an hour later, something else occurred, according to Denning, Nature, 49-325, it was in several places, near Hereford and Worcester, supposed to be an earthquake. But, at Stokesay Vicarage, Shropshire, Simon's Met. Mag. 29-8, was seen the same kind of an appearance as that which had been seen at Lanthomas and Clifford, half an hour before, an illumination so brilliant that for half a minute everything was almost as visible as by daylight. In the English Mechanic, 74-155, David Packer calls attention to a strange meteoric light that was seen in the sky, at Worcester, during the quake of December 17, 1896. I should say that this was the severest shock felt in the British Isles, in the 19th century, with the exception of the shock of April 22, 1884, in the eastern point of the London Triangle. There was something in the sky. In Nature, 55-179, J. Lloyd Bosworth writes that, at Worcester, a great light was seen in the sky, at the time of the shock, and that, in another town, a great blaze had been seen in the sky. In Simon's Met. Mag. 31-180, are recorded many observations upon lights that were seen in the sky. In an appendix to his book, The Hereford Earthquake of 1896, Dr. Charles Davison says that at the time of the quake, 5:30 a.m., there was a luminous object in the sky, and that it traversed a large part of the disturbed area. He says that it was a meteor, and an extraordinary meteor that lighted up the ground so that one could have picked up a pin. With the data so far considered, almost anyone would think that of course an object had exploded in the sky, shaking the earth underneath. Dr. Davison does not say this. He says that the meteor only happened to appear over a part of this earth where an earthquake was occurring, by a strange coincidence. Suppose that, with ordinary common sense, he had not lugged in his strange coincidence, and had written that of course the shock was concussion from an explosion in the sky.